Good morning, church. Good to see you all.
So you're going to go, good morning, Mr. Newman. That's what I normally hear.
So my name's James Newman, and I'm a teacher at the Christian school, and I come to the 8:15 service for about last nearly 4 years now. So I'm going to share with you some thoughts on heaven, and I think I'm excited about this topic. I think it's a cool topic, and just welcome to Roma as well, and those listening and on the recording. And last week Ross talked a little bit about the intermediate state between now and heaven, and I'm going to be talking about the new heaven and the new earth. All right, so that's where we're going from. So see if this works. Yeah, so we're going through this new series, and overall it's really thinking about what are we going to do in heaven. And here's this famous quote from Isaac Asimov. You might have heard this before. Whatever the tortures of hell, the boredom of heaven would be even worse. Have you heard that before? Ouch. Hey? Ouch. And well, he was actually one of my favorite sci-fi authors when I was a child. And I think I really enjoy, I wasn't brought up a Christian. So I had nothing really to hope for. And he gave me a sense of hope that human development and we would spread throughout the universe and that would be something that would make life better for everyone. And ironically, I think it was really a hunger for heaven in me that I was looking for, that he showed me a little glimpse of, ironically, because he doesn't have much of an opinion of heaven, obviously. And it gave me a little comfort. And when you read this quote and people use this quote, I think they're really just trying to get rid of God, you know? They're trying to get rid of God. It's like it seems like a quick answer to that. And as Christians, we sort of can think, oh, that's stupid. And it is stupid. But is it possible that as Christians today, we're also equally as ignorant about heaven? Are we secretly in some part of our heart we don't like to look at, a little bit concerned that maybe it will be boring? Like Asimov's saying. So that's what I want to address today. It's common kind of misunderstanding about heaven that people have is it's going to be, you know, it's endless singing with harps, you know, on white fluffy clouds. Do you know what I'm talking about? And, I actually love worship, but that terrifies me personally. And I think a lot of people find that's a little, well, yeah, okay, it's great worshiping, but forever? I can't even play a harp. You know, what's the story? Am I going to get a choice? Can I do a trumpet instead or something? So I want to address these questions. So these are the three questions. First question, is heaven boring, like Asimov said? Some people think. Sometimes we think. And what are we going to do there? And does the work here we do matter in heaven? So those are the three questions. I hope this helps. I flicked through a lot of scriptures. So if you can keep up with me, you go for it. But I'm going to stick them on there as well. But we'd like to encourage you to follow along as much as you can. I think our fear that heaven might be boring is actually showing some deeper misunderstanding or lie. That maybe we think somewhere deep down God's boring. And maybe it comes from this concept that, you know, sin's exciting and holiness is boring, do you know? You hear non-Christians saying this stuff all the time, like, I want to party in hell with my mates. It's going to be the best time, you know, we're going to be together, we do what we want. And I'd rather do that than have to be good in heaven all the time. Like, being good in heaven, that's going to be so boring. And, you know, we sort of think, oh, that's stupid, but maybe we think those things. So I want to look at what the scripture has to say. So is it true? Is heaven boring? Well, if you think about it, in reality, God is the ultimate source of pleasure, right? He's the one who invented it, didn't he? So everyone likes, you love good food, you love good company, you love to explore. We all like to see something new and exciting. That just defines who humans are. And in the Psalms, we see him declaring, you make known to me the paths of life, and in your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand there are pleasures evermore. Right? So Actually, pleasure is God's idea. Joy is God's idea. In Proverbs 10:28, oh no, it doesn't, I didn't put that one up, never mind. I'll read it to you. In Proverbs 10:28 states, the prospect of the righteous is joy, right? But the hope of the wicked comes to nothing. In actual fact, I think one reason sin's so terrible to God is because it destroys joy and it destroys pleasure and it destroys everything that's good. It's this shortcut, isn't it? And it robs us of all the true goodness in our life. It's not the secret path of forbidden pleasures. And I think we learnt that hopefully in the Garden of Eden, but we all struggle with it, don't we, still? So if you think about anything that people design, like maybe a car, so think about someone designing a car. When you do the design of the car, you want the car to fulfill its purpose perfectly, as well as it can, don't you? So design's important. So you make the motor so it's going to run best on a certain fuel, right? You make the suspension so it's going to work best on the conditions the car's made for. You design it for its purpose. And it's the same with God. God designed us. And we have, he's put in us certain desires and needs. And God perfectly understands those desires and needs. So when he says do this or don't do that, it's not because he's a killjoy. It's not because he wants to suck joy out of your life. It's because he knows that's how you experience the greatest joy and the greatest pleasure. And it's silly when we ignore him. And we suffer when we do. Just like it'd be silly to ignore the instructions on your car and stick whatever you like in the fuel tank, right? It's the silly, same thing. It's exactly the same thing. Because God's designed us. And the new heaven and the new earth is the fulfillment of all that's good and wonderful. So it's this place that God's perfectly designed to suit us. So you're made for heaven, aren't you? When you think about it. Actually, in reality, hell is going to be, among other things, boring. Because humans are separated from the one source of ultimate joy and fascination that they were made to enjoy, God. So that's where a person experiences a loss of everything good. It's not a great party place, right? So I think God is fascinating in a way that's going to draw out exclamations of praise from all eternity. We'll never be satisfied. We'll be like, oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow, for eternity. And that's the way we've been made. So you've got to, this is a question to reflect on, just to think about. Have I got it up there? Oh, no. You know, are we confusing sin with fun? And are we confusing holiness with boredom? Because I think it could be a common mistake in some part of us. You know, heads we might know that's not true, but sometimes our actions show that. And you think about King Solomon, right? He had everything. In Ecclesiastes 2:10 he says, I denied myself nothing that I desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. And I think he's talking about pleasure outside of God's design. He had it all, but he said it was meaningless. And it was like chasing after the wind. In other words, he had everything the world had to offer, everything sin had to offer, and he's still bored. So you compare that with James, and he says, all good and perfect things come from God. So look at what the Bible's saying. He's saying holiness leads to joy and pleasure. Sin leads to boredom and grief. C.S. Lewis has got this famous statement. You probably heard it. I really like it. He said this. He said, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures. And we fool around with drink and sex and ambition, when infinite joy is offered to us. So we're like this ignorant child who just keeps on making mud pies in the slums because he cannot imagine what they mean when they say, come and play by the seaside. And so he said, you know, we're not too, the problem is we're far too easily pleased. So maybe another reason that we think heaven's boring is because our lives as Christians can be boring. But that's not God's fault, is it? I think much of the boredom and staleness and lack of passion comes from our sin. We see things through sin. And our warped understanding of God, God's not boring. Hope I'm getting that across. So you think about Jesus' ministry on earth. Does that sound boring? That's pretty exciting, really. I would have loved to have walked around with him. I don't think Jesus was a boring guy. So that's pretty obvious, isn't it? I think following God's an adventure. And it's actually our sin and our brokenness that make it boring and stale. So, first question, is heaven boring? No. Of course not. God's not boring, and he's the source of all pleasure. So why do we think heaven's going to be boring? God is heaven. Now, that might not be a question you even have, but that answers it. Good reflection question could be, hopefully I put that up. Yeah. Here's something to think about, because I think all of us have to deal with these things. So what sin or idol in our lives is dimming our vision of God? That we even a small part of our heart consider that he could be boring. So, you know, over today or maybe this week, we can just ask the Holy Spirit to just show us where we're missing the mark so bad that we would even consider that possibility. And ask him to refresh our passion for the things of God. Because only the Holy Spirit can do that. And ask him to give us an excitement about where we're going. So question one, no, sin is not boring. I mean, sorry, heaven is not boring. Scrap that word. Heaven is not boring. So what we do in heaven for all eternity? So we're in heaven for eternity, what are we going to do? Right. Well, I think it's important to understand that one of our basic drives that God's given us is to progress and achieve and grow. We need to grow, all right? We want to explore. We want to find new things. We want to discover the things that are hidden. And if you ever, you probably have a retired uncle or a granddad or father or someone who's got really grumpy after they retired. You know, don't have to put your hand up. Don't have to look at anyone. All right? But I think it's really sad that retirement's like that for people, because it's kind of like, oh, that's what I've got to look forward to. You know, and I think retirement's actually a real letdown for people, for a lot of people. It don't have to be, but I think it is. And I was reading the Beyond Blue website, and it was saying that any 1 year, around 1 million Australians are depressed, which is about 5% of the population. And then it goes from there, jumps up to 10 to 15% in the elderly, which is a huge jump. And then for those in aged care, it goes up to 35%. It's a third of people in aged care have some issues with depression. And I wonder if a common factor there, don't have to be a genius to figure it out, that maybe that's something to do because they've lost their purpose in life because they're not working anymore. I don't know. So if you look at heaven and you think, oh, it's the ultimate retirement, it doesn't sound so good anymore, does it? You know, oh. So what do? We work in heaven? Well, here's another scripture. Revelation 22:3, it said, there'll be no more, just talking about the new heaven and the new earth, there'll be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants shall serve him. All right, so we're serving God in heaven. But before we think about that, let's just reassess our concept of work, because I know I've had a pretty messed up idea most of my life. So most of my life, I've seen work as something I have to do, right, to pay the bills. And especially as a young man, I just dreamed of financial independence. You know, I'd listen to all those tapes and, oh, you know, you do this, this and this, and then you're like financially independent and you don't have to work. And for me, that was like, well, yeah, that's what I want, because I didn't like work. And I wanted to just retire and enjoy life, start enjoying life, you know, the big dream, isn't it? But really, that just showed this real lack of understanding about what work was in my heart. And I think I'd forgotten that, in fact, you know, work existed before the fall, didn't it? Adam worked before the fall. Work is not a curse. Work's a blessing, actually. And it's something that God's planned for creation. It's part of our plan. Tim Keller said we've got a greater hunger and need for work than we do for rest. 6 days you work, 1 day you rest. You actually need work more than you need rest. Interesting, isn't it? So we're designed to work. Work's good and it's part of God's plan. Well, God works, doesn't he? And for him it's pleasure. So in John, Jesus stated in John 5:17, his Father's always working. In the garden, Adam was given work to do, and it was satisfying, it was interesting. It's important work. And as God gave him this example, I like this idea. He said, here's the Garden of Eden. Now, here's the Garden of Eden. The rest of it's wilderness. The whole earth is wilderness, right? As far as I can tell. And here's the Garden of Eden. So God's saying, hey, look, here's my template. Here's something you could do. Here's some inspiration. Now, I want you to take all of your creativity and all of these resources and all the strength that I've given you, and I want you to fill the whole earth with this stuff. Do you know what I mean? It's like a little pencils and palette, you know, when you give to your kids. It's kind of like, go and make something beautiful and do it for my glory. And I think that's what work's meant to be. It's meant to be that kind of a blessing. It's the fall that's ruined or tarnished work. It's broken it. So now it's by the sweat of your brow you're going to eat. So work's this means for survival now. That's the fall. That was not the original plan for work. That's the curse. No longer is it really an opportunity for creativity and worship. It's just a hard slog, isn't it, sometimes? Not that it's all bad, of course. So it's cursed and it's frustrating and it's broken and we're forced to do it. So we resent it sometimes. But actually, we're designed to work. It's good. And I think it's always going to be a part of God's plan for creation and for mankind. So I want you to imagine, you may already have this job, that'd be cool if you did. But I want you to imagine this job that's just very, very fulfilling. And then I want you to take away from that all the frustrations of sin and decay and the curse. So this is a job you love, right? Every day you jump out of bed and you just can't wait to go to work. Whoa. Anyone ever got an amen? Anyone feeling that? Anyone got that kind of job? Because I want your job. I got a great job, but I don't feel that every day, especially Mondays. So, you know, because you jump out of bed because you're filled with this vision, because you want to create something beautiful and something that lasts, something that makes things better, you know? And I remember I had a glimpse of this when I did my last year of uni. I was doing my honours thesis and I just got to do research all day. And I would just get out, I love research, and I'd get out of bed and I'd just go and I'd be there the first thing and I'd leave last thing. And I would just, the whole time was pure pleasure of doing the stuff that I love to do. And I think I got a little glimpse of what heaven would be like. Jesus touched on the subject of work in Luke 19:17. And he's talking about the faithful servant. He said, well done, good and faithful servant, because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter. Now I want you to take charge of 10 cities. So here, you can see Jesus is giving work and responsibilities as a reward. It's like, whoa, now you get to look after 10 cities. That's your work now, and that's a reward. See, it's completely different than what we think sometimes. You can see here, Jesus is giving work and responsibilities a reward, and it's a good thing. And this man's going to be looking after the development of 10 cities in the new heaven and earth. So you can see that in heaven, you're going to exercise leadership. You're going to exercise, actions are going to matter in heaven. And we're going to be part of God's reign, continual reign and management of this new heavens and earth. Because God's always planned work to be part of the plan, and he's not giving up on it, all right? You can't stop God doing what he wants. Have you noticed? I think heaven's going to be filled with this fulfilling, meaningful work. it's not frustrated anymore by the brokenness. You know, I see it as a thrilling exploration of creation, wonder, new wonders to discover, you know, development of the arts and the culture, breakthroughs in architecture, amazing culinary creations. You know, you're getting an idea what it would be like. Horticulture that displays God's wonderful creation and glorious creativity. You know, I don't think we can imagine what glorious work we will do. I think what we'll be doing there, we'll look back on our age now and we'll think all these wonders that we look at now, they just look like mud huts. You know? Like, oh yeah, that was nice. But now we've been released from the curse. What we're coming up with now is just incredible. It's given God glory like we've never known. We're doing things we never believed possible. I think there's that sense of absolute engagement in heaven. It's not passive. I get really excited about what I could do. Like, I love gardening. I love researching God's creation. I love teaching and I love worshipping. So, you know, for me, I can imagine just spending, I don't know, thousands of years developing sort of these beautiful places, these beautiful gardens, you know, with all the resources and no hindrance and God helping me. You know, I would love to continue to research God's creation. I would love to explore the universe. I don't know if that's possible. You know, why not? I don't know. Wouldn't that be cool? It's my little Star Trek geek inside. Wants to explore. I want to be in charge of some spaceship. I don't know. Maybe it's possible. I don't know. Why not? You know, I want to teach in heaven. I want to explain God's glory. And people go, wow. You know, one of my little ambitions, and I don't know if I'll ever get to do it, is I'd love to have a go at leading worship for the great multitudes one time. You know, wouldn't that be just awesome? So these are some, I'm going to be busy, I don't know about you, I'm going to be busy in heaven. We'll have to make a time we can catch up, because I'll be busy. Maybe you can help me explore the universe or something. And Jesus is going to be with me, you know. So we're made to work, and work is good. And I think it'll be the best work ever that you've ever experienced your whole life. Because it's going to be an expression of passion. It's not just a means of survival anymore. So every day, work and worship will be just the same thing. Your work will be worship. Worshiping God and working will be the same thing. And I think our passion of expressing God's glory will engage us in some ways we've never comprehended. In some ways, you can think of eternity and what we'll do, and you can see this life like it's this night time, and at the end of it, dawn appears. And then it says there, it's a verse that we read today. Okay, haven't got it up there either. But we read it at the beginning, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no heart has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by the Spirit, and the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. 1 Corinthians 2:9. So I hope you can experience or share some of this excitement that I have in the light of this. So here's a good reflection question that I can ask myself, you can ask yourself. Am I so consumed with this life that I've forgotten that heaven's my real home? Because it's easy to do, isn't it? I do it. Philippians 3:20 says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we eagerly waiting? Really? Why aren't we eager for heaven? Is it too good here? So that's my second question. What are we going to do in heaven? Wonderful, fulfilling work, glorifying God. So third, last question here. So, okay, thinking about work like this, does that work here matter? Does it matter what we're doing here? So, you know, heaven's not this long, boring retirement. It's not sitting around singing all the time and playing harps. It's wonderful, fulfilling work and adventure. So if our work is important, well, what about our work here? So, you know, think about it. All the striving that you, every day you get up, you go to work and you do your thing, or you look after whatever you've got responsible for, and all your character that develop, and all the culture that we develop, is it all gone? Is it like clean slate, and then you go to heaven and you start again and you forget about it all? Because that's a little bit depressing, I think. You know that people that you are part of coming to Christ, you know, that'll be a thing that'll come across, won't it, into heaven. We know that. There'll be celebration there. But what about our other work? Well, I think the Bible tells us that God does preserve human culture and he values it in the new heaven and earth. And I'll give you a couple of thoughts about this. In the Bible, you see it. Because you think about the Garden of Eden, right? It's a garden. But then the new heavens and the new earth is a city. Isn't it? It's a city. It's a difference. There's something of human culture brought into the new kingdom. You know, humans created cities. That was an idea that we came up with. In the garden, there was nakedness. Then there was olive leaves or something, wasn't it? Fig leaves. Got to get it right. Fig leaves. I think we've come away from there. And you don't see people running around heaven with fig leaves, do you? It's not like God's like, oh, get rid of all human culture. I think there's design. There's robes, shining white robes. In the garden, we're talking to God, all right? We're having conversations. But in heaven, you have countless multitudes singing music that probably would just break our hearts to hear the glory of it. There's human culture, there's development. He wants those things. He values those things. Architecture, arts, design, horticulture, all these things continue in the new earth. So I think our worship will develop and grow to continue to magnify God's glory to this greater and greater crescendo of praise throughout eternities through redeemed human culture. It's going to, you know, God's work of molding creation is going to continue. So just like Adam in the Garden of Eden, the new earth, I don't think it'll be a completed work. I don't think we're just going to sit there like spectators going, wow, this is awesome what you've done here, God, we love it. I think there's an engagement. There's management, isn't there? Those materials will be offered to us by God, loving God, to craft and to mould for his worship and glory and honour and for our enjoyment forever. So God hasn't allowed the curse to frustrate his purposes for us. He's actually made it better through the cross. So now you can see heaven and earth joined, whereas before they were separate. Now God's going to dwell constantly with us and in us, where before he visited. We're going to have perfect fellowship with the lover of our souls through the cross. And we're going to continue to glorify him and enjoy him forever in the new heavens and earth. So heaven's going to be much more than you or I understand. But the Bible says a lot more about it than you think. And I would encourage you to get into it. Because I believe God wants us to think about it all the time. I think it's our hope. And as you think about it, you know, this life is just a breath, isn't it? Like, it goes pretty quick. And compared to God's eternity, it's going to be like nothing, you know. So let's keep that in our minds, perspective. I think the anticipation of heaven needs to shape all that we do in this life. Jesus challenges us. This is a very challenging scripture. Don't store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and the rust consume and where thieves break and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. That's challenging, isn't it? It's not easy to keep that perspective. Jesus paid the ultimate price, didn't he? So that we could enjoy being with God in heaven forever. You can't earn your place in heaven, because Jesus has paid for it by his blood. It's a free gift. But really, we should start living like we're actually going there. That's my challenge to you. And I'm preaching to myself. Because, you know, Jesus said he's coming like a thief in the night. Didn't he? So this is my last statement to you. Let's reflect on our lives and live as if he might come tomorrow. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Father, Lord, you have created something that is beyond our comprehension. Lord, our heaven is going to be so much better than anything we can anticipate. And like Paul, our heart yearns sometimes. I know for me, Lord, to be with you now would be better. to be with you now would be better than to be here, Lord. But let us serve you while we're here. Let us live like heaven is tomorrow. Let us use all our resources and strengths and power and creativity and skill to build and to put our treasure into that place, that eternal place that will last forever. Let us be like those on a sinking ship, throwing all our goods and possessions onto the solid rock of heaven and you, Lord Jesus. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.